began studying the warfare of the Christian, the call to arms, and we talked a little about our enemy. Last week we did not follow the lesson as I had intended. This is our 15th study tonight from this book, and the 6th chapter, and we will talk tonight about the antagonist, the 6th chapter of Ephesians, and I will read the 10th through the 12th verses. Now, I recognize as we read from this 6th chapter of Ephesians and these 10th through the 12th verses that there are more verses in the book of Ephesians, and that we're giving time talking about our antagonists. But in order to win a battle, you have to know who your enemy is and how he fights and what's happening to you, what's going on around you. For many of us are defeated and never did know we were in a warfare. Had we known the warfare, we would not have been defeated. So will you follow me from the 6th chapter of Ephesians, and then keep your Bibles ready. At least at the end of the lesson, I want you to read some scripture with me. All right, the 6th chapter of Ephesians. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You will recall when we began our study of the book of Ephesians, we learned that in Christ, whatever happened to Jesus happened to us. That if we're in Christ, we were crucified with him, buried with him, resurrected with him, ascended with him, that we have with Christ been seated in the heavenlies. That's the theme of Ephesians. Then having been seated in the heavenlies, we were told of the wealth that was there, ours, the riches that is ours in Christ. And then the walk that should follow since we are in Christ. Now when we come to this study of the warfare, notice the phrase that's translated here, in high places. If you have a Bible with marginal references, the margin will say, in the heavenlies, against spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies. I'm going to read first from Way's translation. And as I read, following King James, if that's or whatever translation you have, for some of our misunderstanding of our enemy has come from our misunderstanding of what the Bible says. For we have to close in grapple, not with human flesh and blood alone, but with principalities, with powers, with the lords of darkness whose present sway is worldwide, with the spirit host of wicked beings that haunt the upper air. And then perhaps until modern times, the best translation of all is this revised version. And I shall read from that, for we shall use this to define who our enemy is. The 12th verse again. Well, I'll read from the 10th verse. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And that's more nearly a correct translation. You notice as we read there, 5 times that word against is used. 5 different times. So there is a warfare. It's no ordinary combat. The issue of our warfare is life and death. The issue of our warfare is not whether I get a new car or drive an old one. The issue of the warfare is not whether I live just like I want to and comfortably or not. But the issue of this warfare is eternal. It is life or death. And all of us are engaged in the wrestling. Hand-to-hand combat it is. We wrestle against. Notice before we get into who our antagonist is, he tells us what our antagonist is not. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're not wrestling against that which we see. But we're wrestling against the superhuman. We're wrestling against the invisible. And as strange as it may seem to some of us, we don't even belong to the same order of beings against whom we wrestle. We're not even in the same plane as they are. We have a mighty foe. And these antagonists, the enemy, the foe, marshaled against us in mighty combat, intelligent combat, knowing what they want to do and knowing what they plan to do. Who are our antagonists? And I want to list them here. Look at the 10th verse. That's your fault. The Lord, in the 10th verse, read it. Be strong in the Lord. But then against whom do we wrestle? Also tells us regarding that, brethren, that's every member of the body of Christ. It also says we wrestle. That means every saint. I got to thinking about it today and I thought, Lord, if I had my rathers, I just assume not. I'm not all hung up over the warfare. I just assume not, but I have no choice. For Satan has declared the war. And I, since I belong to the Lord, am a part of that warfare. Then the Lord here and the devil. And excuse me, but I just cannot bear to spell his name with a capital letter. I just can't do it. Not even when I use the word Satan, and I know it should be spelled with a capital letter. All right, we wrestle against the devil. The Lord, the brethren, we versus the devil. The devil, how? Look at that 12th verse again. We wrestle against principalities, against powers. Lost my place. Against the principality, against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness. Now this is what your warfare is. Our problem is not a clothesline that breaks and the washing machine that quits or when we lose a job. Here is where our warfare is. We are wrestling against principalities, against powers, against the world rulers of darkness. And one more that is listed here in this 12th verse, against the spiritual hosts. In the heavenlies. Now that is some enemy. We have come against principalities, powers, the world rulers of darkness, the spiritual host of the heavenlies. And you and I are called into a hand-to-hand wrestling match. We grapple with it. We fight. Not against what we see. There is a battleground. And marshaled on one side of that is the empowered, energized host of the Lord. My brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And on the other side is all of the force of the enemy. Now, lest I forget and not say this later, may I say to you that very few of us have ever had the devil deal with us personally. We're not high enough up on the totem pole. For the devil is localized. He's not omnipresent. And he can only deal with through his hierarchy, through his followers. I say the devil spoke to me, and I mean the power of the enemy. The devil has not spoken to any of us. We're not that big. We're not that important. We're not that vile. But we do come against all of his might and all of his power. And certainly his imps have spoken to all of us. Let's look then at our enemy. For I said in order to wrestle, in order to enter into any warfare, we have to know who the enemy is. Our adversary is the devil. The scripture tells us that he is. First, let's look at his person. In Peter, he says the devil goes about as what? As a roaring lion seeking whom he might devour. And if I were teaching a class in homiletics, I would say take that scripture and take the scripture of the Old Testament where one of the David's mighty men met a lion and slew him on a snowy day, and tell you that though the devil walks about as a roaring lion, through our Christ we can slay him. But the devil comes as a roaring lion. Now, the devil's names indicate his personality. He is called Satan. Satan, let me read the list of his name. Deceiver, liar, murderer, accuser, tempter, prince, Apollyon or destroyer, the evil one, Beelzebub. And every name that's there indicates his nature. The Bible speaks of the workings of Satan. We spoke last week of his devices. The Bible speaks of his wiles, of his devices. This is the way he works, his strategies, his plan. The Bible speaks of the snares of the devil. These reveal his personality. For Satan beguiles, seduces, opposes, resists, deceives, sows, tears, hinders, buffets, tempts, persecutes, blasphemes. Every work of the enemy against God, diabolical, every work of the enemy to come against you, for he cannot touch God, and the only way he can fight God is to fight us. Then I recall, I didn't know it until I made this study. Every time Jesus referred to the devil, he talked of him as the prince of the power of the air, never as the king, and never as God. But let's look at our adversary, not only his person, but his position. His position, he has a superior position in a twofold way. He has governmental authority, Satan does, over evil men. Second chapter of Ephesians, the second verse. Jesus taught us that. Every man who doesn't know the Lord, who follows after Satan, Satan is their God. He follows them. But Satan has governmental authority over the principalities and powers and world rulers. The nations of this world are ruled by the power of Satan. Preacher lady, are you saying that every world ruler is demon possessed? No. I am saying that Satan said to Jesus, bow down and worship me, and I will give you the kingdoms of the world, and you don't have to go to the cross to get them. And Jesus did not say to Satan, the kingdoms of the world are not yours to give. They are. The scripture says the whole world lieth in the evil one. So Satan has governmental authority over the rulers, over the kingdoms of the world. He has governmental authority over evil men, over the rulers of the world. He has governmental authority over evil spirits, demon spirits, disembodied spirits. When Satan fell, at least a third of the angels fell with him. Some of them are bound in chains awaiting judgment. Some, for whatever reason, are still going about doing Satan's bidding. And so Satan has authority over the aerial heavens. You remember Daniel prayed, and when the answer finally came, the angel said, Daniel, God heard you the first time you prayed, but I have been wrestling with the power of the enemy, and your answer was delayed because of that. The reason Satan's home is in the aerial heavens is because when God created the heaven and the earth, he did not create a place for the devil. It was only after the fall of Lucifer and the fall of man that he had to create a place for the devil. And so Satan has control over nations, the mastermind behind all that's going on in the world around us today. Satan has control over the powers of the aerial heavens. Satan has control over evil men. And then there's another place where Satan is seen. The scripture says of him that he is the god of this age. And here is the
highest, the utmost blasphemy. For when Lucifer fell, what he was saying is, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like God. And so he has gone about in total opposition to God, and in every revolt he's attempted to set up a counterfeit to what God had. And finally he became a god. It is bad enough when you or I are gods unto ourselves. I've told you Sunday, and I've told you many a time in this pulpit and shall many more times, sin is selfishness. Sin is my worshiping me. The difference between the saint and the sinner is the saint says, yes, Lord, I will do what's best and what's right, no matter what I think or what I feel. The sinner says, I'll do what I feel like doing. And no matter how saintly we are, when we respond in any situation to what we feel instead of what we know, we are obeying the voice of Satan. That's sin. That's the spirit of Lucifer. And so Lucifer, I mean, it's bad enough when we become a god unto ourselves. But it's worse when, like Eve, who was deceived, or Adam, who deliberately fell, we say to Satan, all right, you are my god. So the Bible says, the god of this world hath blinded men's eyes. Oh, folks, everyone you prayed for tonight that's unsaved, what you need to pray for is that the scales would fall from their eyes, that they could see the truth. For when you see the truth, you come to Christ. But the god of this age keeps men's eyes blinded. Their intelligence might be great, and their culture fine, and their refinement right up at the top, and all of their education the best, but they're blind to the truth regarding the gospel. And it's the god of this age that has blinded men, that they might not see the truth, so that finally they will believe a lie and be damned. So we see the devil working, his authority in the aerial heavens, his authority in the men who've never known God. And you and I would be his subject were it not for the delivering power of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the power of the cross, the blood, and empty tomb that set us free, or you and I would be shackled and his slave right now. Then he, in his revolt against God, he became the god of this age. Listen to it. Satan has, and I couldn't think of a term for it, so I made up my own, in his kingdom, what I'll call a state religion. It will be seen during the tribulation. The state religion. It will be an exact counterfeit of what the churches or true Christianity is supposed to be. He has his synagogue, Revelation 2:9. He has his gospel. In Galatians, the first chapter, Paul said, I'm surprised that you've gone so soon after a different gospel, which is not a different gospel, a gospel without the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan doesn't matter how many churches are built as long as the blood of Jesus is never referred to. For it took the death of Christ to save us. And Satan has his ministers, 2 Corinthians 11:14. Not only does he have his ministers, the Bible says his ministers are ministers of righteousness. You say, Sister Sharp, that's the highest of ego for Satan to say his ministers are ministers of righteousness. No, it's simply true. For the devil's righteousness is righteousness without Christ. Self-righteousness. And if you've ever dealt with anyone about knowing Jesus, the self-righteous are far harder to reach than that person who knows they are a sinner. I don't think the devil minds at all any of us going to church, being a member of a church, partaking of a church, reading the Bible, knowing all the doctrines, subscribing to a creed, as long as we don't come in contact with the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I don't think the devil minds us being good, as long as it's without God. So he has ministers of righteousness. The devil has his doctrines, 1 Timothy 4:1. And I find that so amusing, for always Satan's ministers decries doctrines and creeds. And Satan's doctrine is opposed to every doctrine we have. I could, if I wanted to, name the churches. They can talk the same language and use the same words you are, but they are taking the power out of the words they use. I have an aunt who is a Christian Scientist. If you did not know that when you met her, you would, oh, she is lovely, has the most beautiful accent. A little Louisiana mixed with Cajun. It is beautiful. You would enjoy talking. She is a lady from the top of her head to the tip of her toe. Fine, marvelous lady. And you could sit and talk the things of God with her. And when you would leave, you would come to me and say, Sister Sharp, she is so marvelous. And I'd say, yes, she is. And she used the same words you used, but she has a different meaning for them. For she believes, as Mary Baker Eddy did, that the death of Jesus is no more effective for the saving of our soul than the death of a hog. You can go to the unity religions, to the human religions, to the religions that say, think good, think positive. None of them deny Jesus. Madeline Murray O'Hare is no great threat. The great threat is those who say with their mouth, yes, oh yes, we believe in Jesus, and then strip him of all power and all authority and all deity. And the devil has his sacrifices. 1 Corinthians 10, he has his communion, his table, his cup. And the second chapter of Revelation says the devil has his depths. In other words, there are no length to which the devil will not go in his deception. There's no length to which he will not go in order to destroy. There's no length in which he will not go in order to keep men from God, or once you know God, to keep you from victory. The devil will even let people use the cross. Where does jewelry? Put it on their walls. Use it to fight. Who is it? Not Dracula. What are they? Vampire. Yes, vampire. The cross, as long as the cross is the cross of a dead man. And on a mission field, they'll say, we love the cross, we despise the blood. Average person will say, why, certainly Jesus died on the cross. The thing they will not admit is that he arose from the dead. Satan has no warfare with the cross as long as it's the cross of a dead man. As long as his blood doesn't mean anything. And so Satan presides as God over apostate Christendom, over every false religion, every cult, every error, every heresy. Somehow, some way, finally, Satan was the father of it. And the Bible tells us that in the last days that Satan shall have a world church, made a church, made up not of new churches. The sad part, made up of the church world. Look at it. We were talking about, we are wrestling. You and I, here we are. Here is our foe, principalities, powers, world rulers, the hosts of the heavens. You have a foe. He is mighty, he is real, he is organized. For lack of better words, I say he's a good devil. He's too proud to be a bad one. No wonder that ever and anon you feel your soul being pressed. No wonder that ever and anon you feel your whole spirit being pushed down. Certainly because there is a warfare. And if you don't recognize that you're in a warfare, you give in to that. And you're destroyed by it. But when you recognize that there is one out here who fights, and his name is Jesus, then your spirit overcomes all the oppression and all the depression and all the fear and all the circumstances the host of the enemy brings against you. It's done in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You meet him by yourself. You meet this enemy by yourself. You'll be destroyed. Scared. But you meet him in the name of Jesus Christ and you overcome. All right, we've studied his position, his person. Let's look at his power. His power is acknowledged in the Bible. The power of darkness, a malign power. Colossians 1:13. The power of the air, invisible. Ephesians 2:2. The working of Satan with power and lying wonders. Supernatural power, 2 Thessalonians 2 and 9. The power of death, destructive. Hebrews 2:14. The power of that awful great red dragon, Revelations 12:3. Power like that of a roaring lion, 1 Peter 5 and 8. And I read that only to let you know that we must recognize that he's powerful. And as I read it, where it says that Satan has the power of death, that goes on to say, but not anymore. For Jesus overcame, and around his waist, he wears the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Since he broke the destructive power of Satan over death, he has broken the power of Satan, that invisible, malign, evil power. Jesus Christ has broken it for all that believe. For the believer. Now, he's not only powerful in himself, but he is equipped and he's entrenched for the warfare. A few more scriptures, and then we're going to read two together, and then we're going to close. The Bible says of him that he's a strong man armed. It's in the 11th chapter of Luke. The Bible says of him that he has his strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10 and 4. He has his palace, his armor, his host. We've read that. He has carried from the battlefield mighty spoils. Bible says of our adversary that there's a supernatural person occupying a superior position, exercising a supernatural power, a supreme dictator over the kingdoms of the world, a past master in every diabolical deception and devilry to be used in seduction and destruction of human souls. The instigator of all hatred and rebellion toward God and his son. Now there's our enemy. I want you to, I would remind you, it is folly to ignore it. It is death to not recognize he's there. It is disaster to think that you and I float to heaven on flowery beds of ease. For the moment we said yes to Christ, we weren't called to a picnic, but to a warfare. He has told us to be soldiers. He's told us to gird ourselves as soldiers. He's told us to discipline ourselves as soldiers. He's told us to discipline ourselves as athletes. He has warned us of the warfare. And I have seen men and women do shipwreck to their faith. Because they thought the moment they were saved, they were going to float right into heaven. No, you're going to fight your way there. Now will you read with me? First from 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter and the 4th verse. I'm going to read again from Way's translation. Very human as I am, I do not fight with merely human weapons. Now, I've told you about our enemy, but listen, very human as I am, I do not fight with merely human weapons. No, the weapons with which I war are not weapons of mere flesh and blood, but in the strength of God, they are mighty enough to bring down all strongholds of our foe. Now, read it in our King James Bible, the verse you can quote. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We have a mighty warfare, but our weapons are not human either. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we don't use the weaponry, the armor of flesh and blood. We use the weapons of the eternal God. And now turn to the book of Luke, the 11th chapter. And I shall read several verses here. Jesus has been charged with casting out demons by the power of the devil, by the power of Beelzebub. And he has said that is not true. For a house divided against itself couldn't stand. He said, if demons are cast out by the devil, then the devil is divided against himself. Now, in that 11th chapter of Luke, read with me. Start the 19th verse. And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, demons, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. Now, in the next verses, when he refers to a strong man, he's referring to the devil. When a strong man, the devil, armed, keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh